This is True Crime Exposed, and I'm your host, Kayla Waters, joined this week by my co-host, Alicia Jenkins. This show was created to give victims a voice when they no longer have one. And by doing that, we're able to expose the monsters lurking all around us. Okay, hello everybody. Welcome back. I know I haven't been here for, skipped a week, and I feel like I have an excuse all the time. This year's been a rough year for me getting episodes out because I've had a rough year, truly, which everybody does. Everybody goes through things. Life will get you when you're an adult. And what I've learned is I really need to be ahead of the game so that when shit hits the fan, I have episodes stocked up to send out to you. But it's easier said than done. So I do apologize. I did plan on having this episode out last week. However, my husband was in kind of a construction accident. He was helping build a shop and he was on a scissor lift. I don't know if you would know what that is. I wouldn't normally if I hadn't seen it. But it was 14 feet in the air and they were pouring a concrete wall. A few fluke things happened and the wall collapsed, which knocked the scissor lift over. My husband jumped out so that he wouldn't hit his head and die, thankfully. And he landed the perfect landing right on his feet, but he broke both of his heel bones, which are called the calcaneus bones, I think. So, that was last week, and he has been in horrific pain. He has surgery sometime in the next couple weeks, and he's currently in a wheelchair and will be in a wheelchair for the next couple months at least. So it's been a wild weekend for me, and unfortunately, I was not able to get the episode out last week, although I do feel like it's a good excuse for me not to have the episode out. However, I have been kind of bad at getting episodes out the past year. So anyway, yeah, I've just been going through that. Now I'm trying to work full time and take care of my kids and my house. And now I'm taking care of him because he's in a wheelchair and he can't do that much for himself. And yeah, I'm also 17 weeks pregnant. So I'm trying to grow a little baby on top of that. So, you know, it's been a lot, but I am still going to put out episodes. My goal is to be very consistent in putting out our weekly episodes because I love doing this. I love talking to you guys about the cases that we cover and sharing these victim stories with you guys. So thank you for being here. And if you want to support me and help make it a little easier for me to get these out there, please share these episodes with your friends and your family and help spread the word about this podcast. It will help me continue to do this, especially when I'm going through it like this. And I'm going to this year have an episode bank stored up so that you are always getting weekly episodes from us. Now, with that, we are talking about a pretty horrific case. I will let you guys all know, trigger warning, that it is a case about a baby. So they are tough, but like I always say in child cases, ignoring them won't necessarily be helpful. Although some of us will have to ignore them for our mental health, we can't ignore are child victims because they too deserve a voice, and their stories are often too hard to listen to, but we can't make changes without dealing with these cases head on. So with that, are you ready for today's case? So most people listening will probably remember the news that went viral just like a month ago. Tell me if you remember about the woman who left her 16-month-old baby at home while she was on vacation. Did you hear that just a little bit ago?
Yeah, and the baby died.
Yeah, so that was 32-year-old Crystal Candelario, and her daughter was named Jalen. Kristen had left Jalen at home in a playpen while she traveled to Detroit, Michigan first, and then to Puerto Rico, and she was gone for a total of 10 days and then came home to her daughter deceased in that playpen in, like, very horrific condition. And it did happen last year between June 6, 2023 and June 16th, 2023, but the news just went viral like last month when Crystal pled guilty to one count of aggravated murder and one count of endangering a child. She thankfully was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole for the murder and 10 to 12 years on top of that for endangering a child. And I say thankfully because most times I swear mothers and fathers who abuse their children to death do not receive adequate sentences. They're often far too light.
It's like they get 10 years.
Yeah, it's so frustrating because
it is.
It's like, to me, if you kill your child or you are intentionally responsible for your own child's death, you should get more time than somebody who kills a stranger. They're both awful, but like you owe your child to protect them and not be the one who kills them. So I thought they did a really good sentencing on Crystal's case, but it reminded me of another case very similar out of the UK, the United Kingdom. And I came across it a while ago, and I've always thought of covering it. And then when this news went viral, it made me like re-remember this case. So a daughter named Verfi Cootie was born to parents Mumba Cootie and Asia Batrain. I couldn't find whether her parents were ever married or if they were still together by the time Verfi was a teenager, but it seems that they were not. Verfi?
The Verfi?
Yeah. And maybe I'm saying it wrong. V-E-R-P-H-Y. It's like Verfi or Verfi.
Okay. I've never heard that name before.
Yeah. So, and who knows? I'm probably butchering it, but I tried to look it up. There wasn't really like a pronunciation.
Oh my gosh. Remember when I called you about the name?
Yes. Should we ask people to say, what was it?
Oh my gosh. Well, I don't know if I should say it or not. But
yeah, can you not? There was a very odd spelling of a name. And my mom got it wrong, and the person was annoyed.
Yes, but it wasn't spelled like a normal common way.
It was not spelled. It was a normal name spelled as not a normal name.
Yes. I called you and I'm like, oh, hey, how do you say this word? And you said it exactly how I said it.
Yeah. And the lady was all pissed at you for saying it wrong, which she had to have been mad because probably everyone butchers it because it was the weirdest way of spelling that name.
Oh, goodness.
No one can read that.
Come on, Utah, start spelling your names normal.
It's like a Utah stereotype that people like do the most ridiculous spellings to their children's names.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyway, Verfi is how I'm going to say it. Hopefully it's not totally wrong. So Verfi, her mother is mentioned much more often than her father through the sources, and they don't share the same last name. So it's just my guess that they did not remain together, even though I couldn't quite find that out. Verfi was described by her mother as a happy child who had a loud laugh and a lust for life. However, she is later diagnosed with PTSD, and one of the factors that led to this was that she witnessed domestic violence as a child. So, since there is barely any information on her parents' relationship, I'm not sure if this domestic violence she witnessed was between her parents or like one of her parents and a girlfriend, boyfriend, or spouse of theirs, but it is reported that she witnessed some sort of toxic relationship growing up. By the age of 14, Verfi was shutting down. In the throes of her teen years and all that comes with that, on top of any trauma she had experienced, she was struggling. Her mother, Asia, said that Verfi isolated herself and became angry, often having outbursts, and her behavior was just spiraling downhill. Verfi starts skipping school and running away from home often. And in 2017, she was even reported missing publicly by the Southwark Police with Central South BCU in Southwark, England, which is located in the United Kingdom. A social media post by the police showcases a picture of Verfi reading missing since 04-01-17. Verfi Cootie, age 15, last seen in Southwark. Has links to hashtag Croydon. If seen, please call 999, hashtag missing people. So Croydon is a town in England that is only about 11 miles from Southwark. So she must have gone missing in Southwark, but was from Croydon. So they make this post, and this report of Verfi being missing during her teen years wasn't a one-time thing. She was often reported missing by the Metropolitan Police and the Sussex Police. It's around this same time in her life that Verfi reports she's being bullied at school. So her parents agreed to let her change schools, but this didn't stop her from running away. So just after switching schools, she goes missing again. And this time she's gone for quite a while. She doesn't return for 5 weeks, which would send me in a panic. Like if my teenager was gone for 5 weeks.
Yeah. So she's 14 at this time?
She's 15, yeah. So, you know, okay. Once she does come back and she's been reported missing all these times and she's been gone so long, social services decides that it is time for them to get involved. It's determined that Verfi must be placed in a safe house in Norfolk. And this safe house is over 100 miles away from Croydon and the Southwark area. So the drive is more than a couple hours long to this safe house from, you know, the town she's from. And once social services become involved in Verfi's life, they start to suspect that at the young age of 14 years old, Verfi started being sex trafficked and was involved in child sexual exploitation, which is really sad.
Yeah.
So I think, and that's the same age that her mom says she starts spiraling downward.
Okay.
So there's literally no explanation of why they think that, like the investigation into it, but the police say, or the social services, I guess, say this is their suspicion on kind of what she was going through at that time. Probably why she was going missing so often and just running around with the wrong people. Because she's kind of trapped in this lifestyle.
Okay.
So social services, they keep a watchful eye on her, but she was a troubled teen and she still found a way to live her life how she wanted outside of the safe house. So at just 15 years old, only 6 months after being placed in the safe house, Verfi becomes pregnant by an unidentified 21-year-old man. So at minimum, this is statutory rape since she is 15 years old and he is an adult, 21. I'm not sure if this has to do with what social services said she was experiencing, being trafficked, or if it was someone involved in that. But either way, it's not a great situation.
Yeah.
So Verfi's mother, Asia, is highly concerned when she finds out that her very young daughter is pregnant. So she offers her support, telling her daughter about all the responsibilities that come with caring for a baby, and that whether Verfi decided to keep this baby or have it adopted to another family, her own family would support her decision. And it was Verfi who decided she did want the baby. She chooses to keep this baby and raise it on her own. But because she is so young and already under the watch of social services, they remain involved in her life. And they, the social services, they set up Verfi with a child protection plan that would start at her baby's birth. So from the get-go, social services is like watching over her and her baby.
Okay. Just because of her history and her age?
Yeah. Just because she was already a troubled teen, they're already like watching over her. They had her in the safe house when she got pregnant. So they decide to kind of stay involved in that. This baby would need a protection plan, probably because of the troubled past and how young she is.
Yeah. I wish Utah would do that.
I know. I was like, huh, that's cool. Like, they started it even before the baby was born.
Mm-hmm.
So her daughter, Verfi's daughter, Nevaeh Cootie, is born in March of 2018. At the time, Verfi had turned 16 just a few months before her daughter is born. And the girls are put up in a government housing that is meant for young single mothers that need help. And a social worker would check in with Verfi often and make sure that the baby was being taken care of. Eventually, the plan was changed from a child protection plan to a child in need plan. And then eventually, the plan was removed altogether and social services steps back. So it seems that like the longer that Verfi was taking care of her child, the more they were able to like step out as they saw that the child was being cared for.
Okay.
She's still living in that government housing, and there are social workers that like worked there, came in and out of there, but she no longer had a personal, you know, like social service worker assigned to her and her child. Now, the baby, she was born Nevaeh, but she ends up being called by everyone Azaya.
So Nevaeh.
That's, yeah, Nevaeh, heaven backwards. Yep. We just, same thought, same mind. So, but yes, everyone calls her Azaya. So that's how she's known.
Where'd like, they get that from? Case.
I'm not sure. I've been wondering that.
Oh, okay.
So, but like, that's what everyone calls her, except it was the articles where her grandma, Verfi's mom, was interviewed. Like, she calls her Nevaeh, but everything else calls her Azaya.
Okay.
So, Azaya's grandma, Asia Betrain, this is Verfi's mom, she said that the day she was born was magical. That six family members were in the room, they all welcomed the little girl into the world. And her father was never involved. So that's why, you know, so many family members were there. It was like Verfi's family supporting this child and not the dad. And that's probably a good thing since he was an adult. And Verfi, when she had the child, was still also underage at the age of 16. So Asia said that baby Azaya was a very peaceful baby who only cried when she was hungry or if she needed her diaper changed. And Azaya really was so cute. She's the most precious. She had black hair and dark brown eyes that complemented her dark complexion. Chubby little cheeks and a really big smile. And her grandma said she brought joy into any room she was in. And while Verfi maybe loved her daughter, she most definitely was not ready to be a mother. But her age is no excuse for what she does, because by 17, 18, 19 years old, you know what is right and wrong. And even with a traumatic background, you kind of have to choose to rise above that and be the best version of yourself as you heal, especially when you have your own children. Mm-hmm. So just a little less than 2 years pass. And in early December of 2019, Isaiah falls sick with the flu. So even though Verfi's 18th birthday is on December 5th, she cancels birthday dinner plans with her mom because her daughter is sick. Or at least that's what she tells her mom. Verfi texts Asia telling her that she needs to postpone birthday dinner plans because she's not feeling well and neither is Isaiah. She also says that her period came on, so it's just an added suffering that she's going through. Now, half of what Verfi is telling her mom is true. Because Isaiah, she is in fact sick with the flu. The poor babe is definitely feeling under the weather and probably should not go out for a birthday dinner anyway. However, Verfi is not sick and she's not canceling plans with her mom because she's not up to going out. Instead, she has other plans. On her birthday, December 5th, 2019, Verfi leaves her apartment building at 5:39 p.m. And she is seen on CCTV footage leaving. And that CCTV footage won't catch Verfi returning to her apartment until December 11th, which is 6 days later.
Okay.
Yeah. So, not great. And I'm not sure what Verfi expected after leaving her 20-month-old daughter home alone for nearly a week. But when she returned, she obviously finds Isaiah deceased in her crib. Verfi calls 999, which is the equivalent of 911 here in the United States. That's the UK's number. For emergency, and she reports that her child is not okay. Ambulances come and they rush Isaiah to the Royal Alexandra Children's Hospital, but she's pronounced dead on arrival. An autopsy confirms that baby Isaiah did in fact have the flu. So she did have the flu when she was left alone. And due to the neglect, she was severely dehydrated and malnourished, and this resulted in her death. So not only did she leave her, but she did leave her when she had the flu.
Oh my gosh.
So she left a little sick baby.
What I don't understand is why don't you just ask for help?
I know, like, why didn't you ask your mom to watch? Yeah. Like, it sounds like her family loved Isaiah and would have helped. She lived in a literal government housing with social workers. Like, she could have probably said, I need a break.
Yes.
Or I'm going to leave this child, and they would help. Mm. But she doesn't. So, following the autopsy, an investigation is conducted. Detective Chief Inspector Andy Wolstenholme is brought onto the case as the investigating officer. An inquest held in the Crown Court was shown evidence that this was not the first time Verfi had left Isaiah alone. There were six other significant times shown on CCTV footage where Verfi left her apartment without her baby. Isaiah is alone for 10 hours and 37 minutes on November 7th. And 2 days later, on November 9th, Isaiah is left alone for 17 hours and 13 minutes, as well as a second time that day for 33 minutes. Oh, on November 23rd, Isaiah is left alone for 2 days, 5 hours, and 51 minutes. And this was proven to be a trip for another friend's birthday. And on November 28th, Isaiah was left alone for 11 hours and 35 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
How do people dare to do that?
I know. Like, do not leave your child at home all night or at all.
Exactly.
Like, let's not leave babies at home alone.
No, anything could happen.
I'm scared when I put my baby in the other room.
Yeah.
You know, like, at night. Like, obviously, I'll put them in there for a nap or whatever. But to put them, like, in the other room at night in their own crib, I hate it.
Yeah.
So it's like, are you not stressed out when you walk out that door and your baby's just in their crib? I don't understand it.
I know, huh?
And all of these times that are caught on CCTV footage are just about 1 month to weeks before Verify decides to leave for that full week. So I'm guessing she starts doing this once that social worker is out of the picture. Right? Because she was on a child protection plan, then she's on a child in need plan, and eventually the social worker, you know, is unassigned to her at all. And then all of a sudden, she starts leaving her baby at home. So, and she's also, like, she's dabbling in it at first. I mean, 10 hours is a big dabble, but then she escalates. Like, she starts with 10 hours, and then she escalates to 2 days.
Oh, I know. Oh, my gosh.
And then eventually in December, it's 6 days. Like, it's almost like she got away with the 2 days. She's like, she'll probably be fine. And like, I just don't know how you don't feel so much guilt.
Starving. I know.
I know. Like, even through the night for 10 hours, that's just sad. 2 days?
Yes.
That's horrific. 6 days, that's just evil. Like, what are you doing?
Yep.
I would feel so bad.
That's crazy.
You know, like, crazy most moms people. Are going to feel bad, like, when you, like, when you get your baby up in the morning and they, like, have peed in their diaper all night and it's all, like, thick and you're like, oh, like, I need to change your diaper. You peed so much. You feel bad for that.
Yes.
It's not even your fault. They just peed through the night while they were sleeping. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I can't imagine, like, I don't know. What these moms, if we can even call them that, are thinking.
I know.
So, once Verify was home from her week-long trip and had called 999, which again is the emergency number in the UK, she says her baby would not wake up. And she also immediately starts lying about the events that led up to the one-year-old's death. Verify had told paramedics, doctors, and investigators that her daughter was fine that morning, but had been asleep all day because she was sick and Verify had given her medicine. She also claimed that she had given Zaya milk and changed her diaper. But these were later proven to be bold-faced lies because Verify was not home, and it's proven by CCTV footage.
How did they, like, suspect it? Just the...
It was after the autopsy. Because the autopsy showed she had the flu and was dehydrated and malnourished. So through the autopsy, they could tell she was neglected.
Okay.
And yeah. So it on top of all of that, it's discovered that after returning home on December 11th, Verify had spent 3 hours in her apartment with her dead child before calling the police.
Oh my gosh. So this leads me to believe,
because I know. Because after 6 days, you would think your child's in pretty bad condition. Like that other mom I talked about at the beginning, that Crystal who left her daughter Jalen at home. From what I heard, it was pretty horrific. Like the baby was like very soiled, like had eaten some of its own, you know, excrement. Like not in good condition. It was like obvious she had been left home alone. I'm guessing that since Verify spent 3 hours there and then they had to do the autopsy to confirm that she was neglected, I'm wondering if Verify cleaned her up And did like change her diaper and like maybe did wash the crib and wipe it down because it wasn't just going to be clean.
Yeah.
You
That's
know?
True. So, yeah.
So it's, she got home. She found her baby dead. She didn't immediately panic enough to call, you know, 999. Instead, she spends the next 3 hours in the apartment and eventually calls for emergency help.
Oh my gosh.
So information gathered by the Sussex police was presented at an inquest. Verfi was spotted and photographed at parties in London and other cities before she returned to her apartment in Brighton. So she went on this little vacation with her friends just to party for a week straight. Like, there's videos of her having a great time, smiling, laughing, pictures of her all dressed up. Like, she's just out, like, not worrying about it at all.
Oh, my gosh.
And all this while, she was telling her friends that her little girl wasn't used to being away from her and that she was probably missing her.
Oh,
but that
geez.
Obviously, I mean, I say it obviously wasn't true. It wasn't true in the way that, like, yeah, your daughter actually was used to being away from you. However, like, your daughter missing you, that probably is true. And that's sad. Like, mm-hmm. she actually, yes, probably did want you.
Yep.
So we know it was proven that Verfi had left Isaiah multiple times before this. But people also wondered how no one in the apartment building heard Isaiah crying that week. And it turns out that it's because Isaiah didn't cry much at all. She had learned that crying for her needs wouldn't work. Dr. Nicola Claghorn, who's a pediatrician that testified, she said that children who have experienced a delayed response from their caregivers, they learn that crying is useless. And by this point, Isaiah has been left alone multiple times. I mean, 2 days at one point. So yeah, she probably learned, like, no matter how much I cry, she's not coming to get me.
Yeah, yeah.
So
oh, that's
they,
sad.
I know, and they suspect that she just didn't cry much while she was there alone. Mm. Now, during Verfi's trip to London, she continued to lie. She texted her mom that she needed money for gas and food, promising that she would pay her back later. Which also would, I'm assuming, never happen because she's gonna be locked up after this.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, though, like, you had a birthday dinner planned with your kid, like, you to me. You have a birthday dinner planned with me. I'm like, sorry, Willow's sick. And then, like, I'm going to have to reschedule. And then later that week, I'm like, we're still sick. We need money. Like, can I, you send me some money for food? And then you find out that Willow was here dying and I was partying. Like, I feel like you would kill me yourself.
I know. Like, oh my gosh, I would.
Like, I just don't get it. That would be, like, shocking as a mom. Like, I feel bad for Verfi's mom too, because her granddaughter died, and like, you also have to accept the fact that your daughter, who you probably love very much, is not a good person.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
So Verfi ultimately knows she was caught for the awful decision she had made, and once she is arrested, she decides to plead guilty. During the inquest, a psychiatric evaluation is presented that diagnoses Verfi with a personality disorder. However, regardless of this prognosis, Judge Christine Lang denies that any mental illness played into the decisions that were made. The judge is appalled by the neglect and how much Isaiah had suffered leading up to her death. She notes that the videos and photos in evidence show Verfi having the time of her life and enjoying her nights out with friends. She also points to the multiple lies Verfi used to try and cover up what she had done, proving that Verfi knew she made the wrong decision and was the cause of her child's death. The judge also says that Verfi left her child for a week simply to enjoy the desire to celebrate her own birthday, and that it's unbearable to imagine Azaya suffering in the last days of her life just so that Verfi could have a fun time. So Judge Christine Lang sentences Verfi Kuti to 9 years in prison for the death of her daughter, Azaya.
See, I said 10. Which is,
I know.
Earlier, nine they years. Usually get 10.
I know, exactly. When you said that, I was like, yep. And oh, I don't know, like, how the justice system in the UK differs, like, from the justice system here. I know some places, like, are a little more lenient on sentencing and whatnot, but it just doesn't, like, feel like quite enough.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, to me, if you're responsible for your kid dying and literally suffering, like, enduring horrific days before their death, like, to me, you should go for life. I know that's not how the system works everywhere, but, like, 9 years. And I wonder if her background maybe led into it, you know, played into that.
Yeah.
And so...
You're like, because, that's nothing.
Yeah, it's sad because, like, Verfi has a bad past. And if she was sexually trafficked and involved in this child exploitation that social services suspected, like, that is horrific. I'm sure she has a lot of trauma. But it's also not an excuse when you still know right from wrong. You know, it's hard.
Well, for sure.
And the judge sounded pissed.
Do that to your child.
Yeah. Like, once you have a child, you kind of have to put your trauma, like, you can't let your trauma affect them.
Right.
But it's like, it doesn't even seem, to me, it doesn't seem like, I mean, maybe that's the reason she's, like, not making great decisions, but... Like, I don't think you decided to go out partying because you had a bad childhood. Like, you decided to go out partying because you felt like it. And that outweighed your desire to take care of your kid.
Yeah, exactly.
So, aww. Yeah, I don't know, you know, the sentencing and stuff there. But the judge seemed really mad. So, maybe she gave her, like, the max sentence she could. Or maybe she took a plea deal for pleading guilty. But, yeah, that is... how Azaya Kuti tragically passed away. It's so sad. I hate thinking of a baby, like, dying in general, let alone like that.
It's just so shocking because you expect, you know, that the mother's protecting, but...
I know, and they're just, like, the most innocent people on this planet, and they're just the sweetest. Like, nothing bad should be done to them.
I agree.
Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Kayla Waters. I research, write, host, and edit this show. My co-host is Alicia Jenkins. Our palette cleanser is Charlie Waters. And all our music was created by Jaden Schultz, who you can find on Instagram at InPajamasMusic. Find us on Instagram at TrueCrimeXPod, that's TrueCrime, EXPOD, and on TikTok at TrueCrimeExposedPodcast. Make sure you share our episodes with your friends and family. We really appreciate it. Share it on your social media. And please, if you haven't, leave us a review. A good one, preferably. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Charlie Waters. Today we're going to be learning about broken feet because my dad broke his feet. The bones he broke are his calcaneus bones. And these are your heel bones. It's the largest tarsal bone in the foot, playing a big role in walking and running. Wish my dad luck because he's a wheelchair man at the moment. Bye, have a great day.
A great organization I've found that is based in the UK is savethechildren.org.uk. Again, you can go to www.savethechildren.org.uk. They not only in the UK, but around the world, strive to make lasting change for children. If you go to their website, you'll find a button where you can donate and support them. You can also find information on maternal health, education, and how they reunite families. They say that they've helped 45 million children across the world get medicine, food, and education that they need. So go visit savethechildren.org.uk and do what you can to support this organization that is supporting children.